Calvinist Kent Haeckel teaches there are Christians who are like Saul of Tarsus. Saul, in case you don't know, physically murdered Christians, but that was before he became a Christian and the Apostle Paul.
We, as Christians, we're all like Saul of Tarsus, except to one degree or another. He just happened to be the one killing Christians. I'll tell you what, I know that sometimes. Paul said, you know what, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the worst sinner that ever walked on the planet.
Note how Calvinism views Christianity. Later he will mention lifestyle, but seemingly forgot that Saul of Tarsus was consistently, habitually committed to lifestyle persecution of Christians. Haeckel thinks a real Christian can do the same. Kent Haeckel, therefore, thinks there are Christian murderers, but he's not consistent. He will flatly contradict his own teaching about this.
How do you know a Christian? If they're not holy, I'm going to guarantee you something. They're not a Christian.
Kent Haeckel wants it both ways. Christians can even backslide into murdering multiple Christians, but to escape teaching a license for immorality, he will try to disguise his theology sometimes with, if one isn't holy, he isn't a Christian. How is it the people he preaches to cannot notice these obvious contradictions, recognize there must be error, and continue promoting such poison? How could Haeckel think the greatest example of Christianity ever, the Apostle Paul, was a chief of sinners? Doesn't he know Romans 7:14-25 is not Paul as a Christian, but instead the sinful nature of the flesh personified according to verse 18?
A Christian has a life. Do we blow it? Yes, we do. All of us do. But we have a lifestyle of holy.
So he says the real Christian just has a lifestyle which is holy. As with other grace changers, you can be sure he will never explain what is lifestyle. How many acts of adultery, drunkenness, murder, slander, lying, etc. can a person commit without being lifestyle? As long as it is less than the undefined mysterious lifestyle, he can't commit such sins on the road to heaven, according to their theology. As a Calvinist, Haeckel also says all of this double talk is God's sovereign grace.
The topic is really the sovereign grace of God in salvation.
Calvinist Haeckel believes in double predestination, yet refuses to admit the obvious about such a ludicrous belief. That is, if man does not have free will and personal choice, that would actually make God responsible for his unbelief, sins, apostasy, and backsliding, etc. If that was true, then Judgment Day would be a joke.
And yet man is totally responsible for his actions, specifically his sins.
Again, he wants it both ways. He's trying to sanitize Calvinism. Listen to this.
John 15:16. Here's how it happens. Jesus said this to his disciples. You did not choose me. You didn't choose me. But I chose you. That's how it happens. That you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. How do you become a Christian? Jesus has to choose you.
Like others, Haeckel seems blind to the subject of that verse, which is bearing fruit, not salvation. Here's what that verse says. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. John 15:16. Clearly the subject is fruit bearing, not unconditional election or double predestination as Haeckel thinks.
There is nothing you could do to be acceptable to God.
So it's all up to God. Man has no choice to accept or reject, and that even explains why people go to Haeckel's congregation.
Do you know why you're in this meeting here? It's because God chose you and he gave you the faith to believe. That's why.
The implication is God wants them all there, and if someone leaves that congregation, they are going against God's will. Folks, I can guarantee God does not want any Christian to sit under or support such doctrinal poison as what Kent Haeckel is teaching, according to 1 Corinthians 15:33. And 2 John 9-11, etc. Haeckel teaches,
Folks, I got a message for you this morning. We are totally and completely spiritually bankrupt.
How could he say that? Well, he misused Isaiah 64, 6.
Isaiah 64, verse 6. But we are all like an unclean thing. And all of our righteousnesses on our best day throughout our whole life are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf. Our iniquities like the wind have taken us away.
Where is the holy living in that he spoke of? Doesn't his lethal explanation seem like lifestyle sinning to you? He said on our best day throughout our whole life, it's still filthy rags. If that is true, then how bad does it get on the worst day? It seems to the extreme of murdering Christians from what he said earlier. That is his grace teaching and his salvation doctrine. But wait till you hear this.
People, they want to teach that you can lose your salvation. That is blasphemy. That is so wrong.
Calvinist Kent Heckel tells us about a brand new kind of blasphemy. That blasphemy, according to his view of God, is that there are true Christians who commit murder such as Saul of Tarsus did, which means he believes once saved, always saved. To teach such poison is to pave the way for the damnation of those who believe his distortions. One of his basic problems is he flatly denies the righteous can die spiritually, a doctrine taught all through the entire Bible, including the New Testament. Here is Heckel's rationale for his doctrine and condemnation of Christians who correctly reject his doctrines of grace.
Because the Word of God makes it very plain that all that the Father's given him are going to come to him, and he's going to lose none of them.
The scripture Kent Heckel cites is John 6, 39 and 40, which says this, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all he has given me, but raise them up the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." What Heckel will never tell you is that the Lord also taught we can lose ourselves. Did you know that? This is what the Lord Jesus also taught using the same Greek word. Listen to this. Mark 8, 35 and 36. Jesus said, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul?" And in John 12, 25, the Lord Jesus taught, "The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Furthermore, later in time, the Lord Jesus also taught he afterwards lost one, and that was Judas, who was once saved. In John 17, 12, we read this, "While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe. By the name you gave me, none has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled." The bottom line for all eternal security teachers, as they proclaim their false version of grace, is to convince their listeners they can backslide like King David, but since God is holding on to them, their salvation is always secure. They teach we are guaranteed heaven if ever saved.
We have a reservation in heaven.
In contrast to such, Christians are repeatedly warned about the lethal dangers of sin, believing certain false doctrines, and disowning Jesus. The grace changers ignore, twist, or misuse all such verses to allow for gross wickedness under their version of grace and God's keeping power. Remember also what Paul wrote. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful you don't fall. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Ken Heckel, like all once saved, always saved people, will endeavor to convince you that he is teaching grace. Again, Kent Heckel thinks to oppose such is blasphemy.
People, they want to teach that you can lose your salvation. That is blasphemy.
May God help all Christians to fight against such doctrines of demons, because souls hang in the balance. God bless you.